This is H&N.
Good evening. This is H&N. The Hollow Table News Network is your not even remotely close to around the clock Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes news, reactions, reviews, theory crafting, and more source. I'm Celia Axera, one of your hosts for now. And I'm joined, as usual, by Pico Burrito. How are you, Pico?
I'm guessing I'm doing better than you. I mean,
yeah, I've hit that point. I'm done. I'm done.
You know what though, in all fairness, over the past month, I have put on some sympathy weight to go along with you. You know, I was at the gym this morning, like pulling my shirt down with one hand because, well, no one needed to see what was going on there. So yeah. No, I feel for you. I don't know how it feels. This is empathy. I feel for you, but I don't know how you feel. So yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah. So we'll see. This is actually going to be my last H&N for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the tentative plan right now, because we haven't really put a whole lot of plan in, we'll probably skip the 18th.
Right. Yes.
Because I'm supposed to be on vacation with the kids. But that may get canceled. So, but yeah, so, we're all excited for you. I think we got some questions about that coming up a little bit later today too. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you do, just to clarify, so we will probably skip the 18th, like you said, but then you're going to come back with other people.
Yes. Yeah. I have a fully fleshed out plan. I have 37 guest hosts lined up. We have a number of topics, or like I normally do, we're just going to wing it and see what happens. So
perfect. It's going to be fine.
Perfectly awesome. Fine. This is all going to work out. Don't nobody worry about anything. So, but we will hold down the fort while you're gone. So
I like it. So I'm excited to listen to it, actually. okay, let's I guess we can hop into it then.
Yeah, so we are going to change the order up a little bit. We're gonna start kicking off with H&N for good. And first thing, so again, thank you to the community. We made our February donation to the MS Society of Canada. I made a $61 donation, but it was in US dollars. I think I did the conversion right, and I think that comes out to 11 billion loonies. I could be wrong with that, so I don't know where that lives. But again, it's a step forward. Let's keep stepping forward, coming out of it. We got a very nice note from a member. I won't share his name because it's his first and last name is his Discord name, and I think that's kind of weird from the side. But a very nice note around some, again, MS has been something his father's been dealing with for an incredibly long time, and it was very touching that he reached out, and I greatly appreciate for it. And if he was comfortable with us sharing our name, I apologize. I didn't do that, but first and last names on the internet are a sacred thing as far as I'm concerned. So, but with that, we are getting ready for our March vote. I will have this posted tomorrow. We have, I think I'm actually missing one. I am missing one. So I'm going to go back and read that. It's not in our show notes. We actually had four submissions this month. And I think three of them came from the community, although one of them, I'm not sure who sent it in, but we'll talk through those. So the first one was the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Canada, which again is a foundation for, again, stroke education, kind of helping better eating habits and diet, heart healthy recipes for folks in the U.S. is very similar to like the Heart Society from that side. But again, a phenomenal organization. Then we also had, and I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, but it was an organization called MSF. And I believe this is French for Medicine Sans Frontières. It's an independent international organization for providing medical assistance for people in conflict zones, disaster care, people that don't have access to medical care. So again, a great, phenomenal organization. The next was, and again, I think this one is very... I think it's great that it's happening in March as we're in International Women's Month this month. But Black Girls Code, this is a charity that I'm actually familiar with. I've actually donated both time and money to personally as part of this. But it's a non-for-profit that's helping to build to teach young African-American women how to code and young African-American girls how to code. It's a phenomenal organization. And again, I think it's very timely from here. And that came from CD, last week's guest on Under the Hollow Table.
Mm-hmm.
And the last is the Veterans and Community Housing Coalition of New York, which is part of the Veterans Administration in the U.S. This comes from Old Man Logan, who is a veteran of the U.S. Armed Forces. But Logan actually works for this organization, and they're there to help kind of get transitional housing for veterans. So one of the big challenges that we have in the U.S. is that a number of our homeless that we have in the U.S. are actually former veterans who essentially get out of the service and weren't able to land. And I'm sure that Canada probably has very similar problems to that side. But they're transitional homes that they're there also to kind of help build skills, do job workshops, kind of helping people in transition the ideas to transition them to kind of independent living as part of that. So again, a number of phenomenal organizations. I will have these posted up for the vote tomorrow. We just got done saying that we weren't going to do an episode on the 18th, which is where we would typically announce the winner. So we'll just do that announcement on the HNN Discord server. So again, I greatly appreciate everyone that's contributing, and let's keep up the momentum. So
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm very, very excited to see which one wins. Not that it's a contest, but what I also really like about this is we get so many suggestions that we can just keep going like the next month with a different one that was already suggested. So
I will be honest. I was secretly worried as we were going into the third month that it was going to be you and I trying to come up with more organizations to help on that side. So I greatly appreciate the community kind of chiming in there. This is really what I want to do is I just want to be a mouthpiece. We just want to be a mouthpiece for this. We kind of want the community to kind of run with it. So I was very excited to see all of the community sponsors. So yes, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And as Mol Pokey said, in the U.S., it's actually known as Doctors Without Borders, which is a term that I understand. So again, as long as we make things central to the U.S., I'm good with that.
But you know? I mean, MSF is based out of Quebec, which is MSF. So
you know, I do also kind of want to make a quick pivot. So we all know that Copernicus was actually who came up with the heliocentric model that everything revolves around the sun, but Americans made it better because that's what we do. And everything revolves around us. All right? Let's just understand that that's really what it is. So, yeah.
Totally. Oh man. Okay. Awesome. Do we want to talk about the headlines this week?
Let's talk about some headlines.
Yeah. So we have like three-ish kind of. Basically we've got two marquee kits to go over. So they dropped Cal and Sears on the same day.
Feels like a mistake.
It really did feel like a mistake. So I actually panicked, cause I thought we were going to get both of them this week. And I was like, no, please don't do this again. It's just too much when they become farmable. But evidently not. We're getting Seer in 2 weeks.
And I'm glad we didn't get two characters this week because I can only donate blood so often, and I just wouldn't have been able to generate enough crystals to make it happen. So
so we've got those, and then along with those kits, they released a post that kind of goes over sort of rough info on Cal's hero's journey. So when we get Survivor Cal, which I find so funny, by the way, that they call him Survivor, because it just makes me think of like the show Survivor.
So spoiler, I want to complain about the naming convention because we've got Cal Kestis and we've got Cal Kestis, and I'm sorry, but Survivor is a terrible name to call it. Like, maybe we call the first one Cal Naughton Jr. from Talladega Nights, but we need names for these two. I'd suggested to Sarah maybe Colin Dylan Sprouse, but I don't think that helps us that way. But man, I just there's
it's yeah
we got to figure this out.
Yeah, we really do. So they gave us that. They also included the rest of the marquees that will be coming for him, so we can go over that. And then
exciting stuff.
Bonus zone info for territory battles.
Very surprising.
Yeah.
It's not how I thought that they were going to implement it.
I still don't know how I feel about it. I don't know.
I don't understand it. And we'll talk about this a little bit. I have clarity on direction for what I want to do in territory battles coming out of this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. We can talk about that.
Yep.
Okay. Where do we want to, I guess, do we just want to start with Cal's kit?
Let's start with Cal Kestis.
Okay.
That's a good place to start.
Do you want to read it? Do you want me to read it? I figured we should have checked beforehand.
We should have done that. I mean, this is professional podcasting. Yeah. You know what? You want me to read this one and you can read Seer?
Sure.
Will that work? Okay. So Cal Kestis, light side support, unaligned force user.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the Q and or in kind of some of the pieces they talked about, he was not a Jedi at this point. In fact, he was, for anyone who's played Fallen Order, he was hiding mm-hmm. at this point in the game. I also was doing a little bit of math in my head today around where he exists in the timeline.
Okay.
All right. So he was a, I'll say, grade school. So he's a character out of Jedi Fallen Order. If you haven't played Jedi Fallen Order, you're going to get spoilers at this point. So
mm-hmm.
tough shit. Version 2 is coming out very quickly. So he was a young boy Padawan
mm-hmm.
when Order 66 happened, because that was in flashbacks of the game. So if you cut to, he's probably in his, you know, early to mid 20s in the game.
Right.
That's probably 10 years after Order 66. So that's early. That's still kind of in that Empire transition timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're thinking right around kind of the Kenobi show is where he exists from that side. And
okay.
The reason why I was thinking about this, and because I was trying to place him as where does he exist at the Death Star?
Okay.
He's
yes.
probably mid 40s or 50s around the Death Star. He's probably pushing into middle age at that point. I don't know why that matters, but I just think it's interesting to kind of wrap your head around.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably 10 years older than Luke and Leia is the way that I look at it. So, but he's got a little droid buddy BD-1 with him. So, mm-hmm. Again, super little cool little droid. Synergy, Ahsoka Tano, Rey Scavenger, Kylo Ren. We're going to hear a lot about the unaligned force users with this. So let's get into this. First complaint about Cal Kestis coming up real quick. We're going to talk about his basic.
Okay.
That is his only damage attack. The whole game Jedi Fallen Order is built around insane lightsaber fights. And he just walks up and hits someone with it. That's it. So yeah, I feel like we're... So his first is called literally basic overhead slash, the first move that you get in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Final text, deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict defense down and speed down for one turn. While Cal is at certain health thresholds, this ability gains different benefits. While at or below 75% health, gain health steal up for one turn. While at or below 60% health, gain attack and inflict... and inflict critical chance down for one turn. While at or below 40% health, attack a third time and inflict daze for one turn. So nice little set of buffs and debuffs as part of that.
Do you think all of those stack?
That's a great question. And I'm not kidding when I read, well, at or below 75% health. I immediately thought in my head, I hope she doesn't ask me if they all stack.
Sorry. this just proves you know me very well.
Yeah. I believe it will, only because that tends to be the way that they have done these in the past, is all of the thresholds stack up where they're at. So health steal up for one turn is okay. You know, attack twice, it makes sense. And, you know, critical chance down, again, it's nice. The big one is below 40% health and inflict days. That's the one that people are really looking for from that side. So it's a basic, that's what it does.
Actually, I guess that 40% health one answers my question, because you're attacking a third time. So obviously.
Yeah, fair enough. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So they definitely do stack. Okay.
So special one, help me BD-1, cooldown of 3. Final text, dispel all debuffs on target ally and they recover 45% health. If the target ally is at full health, they recover 30% protection instead. If the target ally is at full health and full protection, grant them critical hit immunity for two turns instead. If the target ally is light side, they gain accuracy up for two turns. We're going to hear that accuracy up quite a bit over the next two kits. So it's a heal. Now, he is a support character. He is not a healer.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems to do a lot to keep his team alive, and we'll kind of see why that is coming up as we kind of talk about these two kits. So that is, again, help me BD1, and BD1 kind of shoots his little, again, the action that happens, this little probe shoots out of BD1, that's mm-hmm. how he heals himself in Fallen Order. So again, little cool callback that way. Special 2, not so fast, is a cooldown of 3 and a Zeta. Final text, inflict evasion down, speed down, tenacity down on all enemies for 2 turns, and all allies gain critical damage up and speed up for 2 turns. It's pretty spicy.
Yeah.
All unaligned force users gain 3% turn meter for each debuff resisted by enemies. If an enemy already has speed down, they are stunned for 1 turn.
I'm so curious about this. In terms of, do you want the potency to land the debuffs or do you not, so that you could gain turn meter if they resist you?
So I think you want the potency to have landed speed down from mm-hmm. the basic so that you land stun across.
Yeah.
So that that's kind of how I look at it.
It's a good point.
But and as we will see, you don't really want turn meter.
No. That's a good point.
That's going to be the crazy part as we kind of get into the rest of this. Newsflash. If you've been throwing away bad speed mods, stop. Mm-hmm. At least until these characters get released. So unique 1, I'm persistent, which is a Zeta and an Omicron, which again, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Final text. At the start of battle, all unaligned force users gain 30% max health and 30% tenacity. Whenever an ally is critically hit, they and a Cal recover 5% health and protection. If the ally is also light or dark side unaligned force users, they and Cal gain protection up 10% stacking, max of 50% for 2 turns. For each special ability used by each other character, Cal gains a stack of persistence, which can't be copied, dispelled, or prevented. If the opponent takes a first turn in an encounter, Cal gains 15 stacks of persistence.
Cool.
So again, this is where we want to be slow.
Yeah.
Persistence. At the start of his turn, Cal does the following based on the number of stacks of persistence that he has. Plus 10 stacks, he and all unaligned force users gain foresight for 2 turns. 20 plus stacks, he and all unaligned force users gain defense up and protection up for 2 turns.
Mm-hmm.
30 stacks, he inflicts ability block and buff immunity on all enemies for 2 turns, which can't be evaded or resisted, and all allies gain 50% turn meter. This effect is doubled for light side unaligned force users. Stacks of persistence are reset.
Yikes.
And then, while in territory, well, let's talk about the Omicron secondly for a second. So the whole thing here is you want the other team to go first.
Right.
So collectively your team needs to be slow. So I don't know what your scab rays mods look like, but mine are hot garbage.
I'm pretty sure mine are hot garbage as well.
So don't change them. Leave them where they are. Ahsoka Tano is, I think it's hard to get her up over 270 speed, even if you're trying. So she's going to be slow.
Mm-hmm.
But you want the other team to go first. So you get 15 stacks right away. So you're already past that 10 stack threshold where that's at. But if you're running slow, you get essentially all of these buffs that come on top of it. And oh, by the way, all of your unaligned force users are going to get 100% turn meter right after him.
Right.
So, or I'm sorry, just light side unaligned light side force ones. Users. Yeah.
And it really does sound like you also want him to go last on your team. Theoretically.
Second to last.
Based off of Seer.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The other piece, and this is, because I had to reread this a couple times because we don't typically see this, but for each special ability used by each other character, that's enemies and your side as well. So to your point, if there's 10 characters on the board, we'll see. You want to go 9 or 10 is really the two that you're really trying to track at that point. So
that's a good point, because I like heard you said it and was reading along, and I immediately thought allies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point.
This is and I wish I remember who said this today, but the Tuskens are dead before they even showed up into the game, because they're designed to take like a billion and a half turns. They're like, you would never even remotely consider taking troopers against these guys.
No.
Because eventually they'll get a turn and things are going to kind of blow up on them from that side. So So that's, again, slow and steady wins the race.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess if we're going to play out that Talladega Nights things, if you're not first, you're last, which is really first, is kind of how it plays.
Mm-hmm.
So the Omicron is while in territory wars, and there is an ally Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum with an upgraded Omicron. Ahsoka's solo Omicron effects are no longer disabled when she has allies. This effect persists through defeat.
Right.
So you're basically applying two Omicrons to get Ahsoka's Omicron on a team is really what it comes down to. That's weird to me.
It does seem, I had the same thought, and I was like, so does her Omicron essentially cost you two if you want to have full use of it?
Yep.
I do find it interesting. I like that they say that this effect persists through defeat. So doesn't matter if you kill Cal, Ahsoka's Omicron is still going to be valid.
Yeah.
Because normally you would go after like to take out the unique abilities.
Yep.
And that's not going to matter in this case.
I don't know. That seems like a really hefty investment. That team would have to do some pretty interesting things in territory wars for me to consider applying it to Cal. I have one on Ahsoka Tano, and I wish I had it back.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this
would change that for you.
But
then again, if you don't like using her Omicron when she's solo, you're still having to spend two Omicrons to get her to use her in general, because you would always theoretically use her as part of a team.
Yeah, what's become interesting about the Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum Omicron, it's less about using it. It's more about having a bunch of them applied in your guild,
mm-hmm.
which then forces your opponent to change their Starkiller comp, which makes it easier for you to be like it accomplishes the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's a really expensive step, I think, to take from that side. I don't like that.
It's
a chess move more than kind of playing a video game from that side. So
yeah, we do see that a lot in territory wars of like, oh, they have this many Omicrons, so we have to set this instead or whatever.
Yep.
So it's just interesting, but
yeah. So again, key attributes set the groundwork for an unaligned force user squad. They'll be led by Seer, which we'll talk about in just a minute. He does not like to go first in battle. In fact, he likes to go as close as he can to last. So a couple of things. Again, they say it draws a lot from the original game from Fallen Order. They actually said that they're going to actually reuse some of the audio from Fallen Order as well, which I think is kind of cool. And they explicitly called out that they are trying to avoid the go first win condition that's too many squads in the game have right now. And what's interesting about that is, so we saw that with the Tuskens.
Yeah.
We're seeing it with this team. I think I'll give them credit. They're finding ways to create interesting teams or interesting mechanics that don't involve going fast.
Which is really great, I think.
Yeah.
It adds another layer.
Yep. They also say that while we're waiting for Seer, which is, I don't know, 2 weeks away, Cal can slot into a Starkiller squad. We'll see what that turns out. And we'll talk about the journey guide coming up, but I think that's really about it.
Yeah.
There was a Q&A, and it never actually got posted, at least from as far as we can tell, that the Q&A was for the marquee never kind of hit the tape or hit the boards yet. So
yeah, I have not seen it. So maybe they're taking extra questions this time.
It could be. Maybe people are really trying to figure out kind of why, you know, B1 is not flying Red 5.
Oh man. Okay. So this marquee event should start this week on Thursday.
Yep. Tomorrow. Yep.
So we'll have him in game.
And it looks like it's the standard packs associated with it. And the only thing is, I've been checking the packs recently because I think for Zori, they let you buy it twice and they put more shards in it, which just made it that much easier for you to get it into the Omnicron bonus. But it seems like they've kind of gone back to the $30 pack with some crystals and no Omnicrons, which is a little bit of a letdown. But yeah, it's going to be the standard cycle from all we can tell.
Yeah. Okay. So let's look at Seer's kit, because they did say that they released her kit early so that we could have them side by side, even though she's not coming to the game for 2 weeks. And that's also why we don't have any animations for her.
Yeah.
Which
scares me that she doesn't have animations yet.
I know. I kind of thought, I guess you can't really make animations right away when you're designing the kit. For some reason, I had it in my head that they could because of how the whole Omega thing came out when they found out, like, after the fact that it wasn't Crosshair they were designing. They were designing Omega. Anyway. Oh, Mopoki's just saying in chat, there is going to be a special free pack for him. Basically the equivalent of the $12.99 crystal pack. It's in the data mine. So theoretically, it will be possible for you to pull 330 shards for free.
Yes, it is also theoretically possible that I may still play second base for the New York Mets.
Hey, I will take the free odds.
Yeah.
Probably real slim, but I'll take it. I'll take free shards here. Especially if they are going to do what I think they're going to do, and we can talk about that later. But
I mean, if you pull the 330 shard on him,
yeah,
you got to whale out, don't you? Like on the rest.
Right?
I mean, you kind of have to.
At that point, like,
I mean, we're going to find out. It's like a 33% success rate on people getting the 330 shards because they just want to say, like, if we give them one hit, what happens?
Right. what happens here? How many of them just cave to the pressure? Yeah. Okay, so Seer Jenda, light side, obviously support, scoundrel, unaligned force user, and leader. So as they said, they want her to be the leader of the squad. Yeah. Basic ability, keep fighting. Deal physical damage to target enemy. All unaligned force user allies gain tenacity up for 2 turns, and all allies gain accuracy up for 2 turns. Straight forward.
Yep.
Special one, Force Barrier, which has a cooldown of 5. All allies gain 10% bonus protection for 2 turns. Gain an additional 5% bonus protection for each active Jedi ally. And 10% bonus protection for each active Dark Side or Light Side unaligned Force User ally for 2 turns. All unaligned Force User allies gain defense up for 2 turns. The weakest Dark Side or other Light side unaligned force user ally gains damage immunity for 1 turn. Can I just nitpick something real quick?
Yep.
Can we not jump around between saying all unaligned force user allies and light side or dark side? Like just lump them all together. Here.
Just pick one. just pick one and go.
It's all of them. So yeah.
Well, also that just means we're also now going to get a neutral unaligned force user.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I can't even imagine. Can't even imagine. Okay, so, but pretty straightforward. Also, not an attack. Just protection and damage.
Correct.
Immunity.
Yep.
And defense up, I guess. So, yay. Okay. Second special, Determined Assault, which is a Zeta and has a cooldown of 10.
Big cooldown.
Big cooldown. Deal physical damage to target enemy plus bonus damage equal to 10% of the target's max health, maximum of 200% for each turn an enemy has taken during this encounter. So that 10% stacks based off how many turns?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
This ability starts on cooldown and can't be evaded. All unaligned force user allies gain defense penetration up for 3 turns. The weakest other light side unaligned force user ally recovers 50% health.
Yep. This is like Zori Bliss's second special that I used accidentally in territory battles on Monday and wiped out the map.
And you were just like, what did I do?
Yeah, I had to go back and read because I hit the wrong button on accident.
Okay, yeah.
So her first or her second special is like a percentage increase of damage for every expose that has been on all of the targets.
Mm-hmm.
But in territory battles under the Finn Omni, you just use her first special because it's an AE attack and it just right. But yeah, so that happened on Monday. I read this yesterday and I'm like, oh, now I'm really excited. Like, this now seems super cool.
Right, because you've kind of seen similar.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This does sound pretty cool. I do enjoy that there is a max on the health.
Yep.
They did talk about that. So, of the damage being done. So that is interesting.
If I kill you twice, you still die.
Right. Correct. Dead is dead.
Yeah. As a quick aside, I had to have a conversation with my son this week about what a life sentence actually means.
Oh.
And I'm like, it's actually life plus a day because the crazy guy in South Carolina that killed his whole family. It's life plus a day. And he's like, well, why do you do that? I'm like, and the off chance that you're trying to pull something off kind of shifty from that side, the 200% is basically life in a day.
Yeah.
Just in case you make it, we're gonna just finish this off for you. So,
oh man. Okay. So then she's got her unique. So unity through adversity. At the start of battle, Seer gains 20% tenacity for each dark side unaligned force user ally, 20% max protection for each other light side unaligned force user ally, and 20% defense for each Jedi ally. If all allies are dark side or light side unaligned force users, and there are no Galactic Legend allies at the start of battle, at the end of each of her turns, Seer's cooldowns are increased by 1. And whenever an enemy takes a turn, her cooldowns are decreased by 1. So you want her slow.
You want her slow. And so I keep seeing this Jedi clause and everything.
Yeah.
And I've been working under the impression that Survivor is not going to go on this team.
But now
it kind of feels like he will.
That's what I'm wondering.
Because I don't see why you would put another Jedi on the team if what Jedi is still left sitting around that you've got room for them on this team. So,
yeah.
You true. Know, this is a little bit of a turd polish for the unaligned force users, or at least the ones that don't get to go play with Starkiller.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that 10 turn cooldown is going to happen really quick though.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you factor in, like, if the other team laps you.
Yep.
You could theoretically have that ready to go and be doing 100% max health damage.
Now, what I think will be interesting is I think she's going to need a ton of tenacity because that would really stink if you finally got a turn.
Oh,
and then you were ability blocked or stunned.
Oof.
But at the same time, I think Malgus is dead. He just doesn't know it yet.
Right.
Because when that team starts moving, they'll get 6 or 7 turns on you. Totally. Like that. So Yeah, I think this is going to end up being a Malgus killer, which again would be great, especially in Grand Arena. But yeah, so
yeah, this is going to be very interesting. So yep. Okay, so then she has her leader ability Rekindle, which is a Zeta and an Omicron. All allies have plus 20% defense, max health, and max protection, doubled for unaligned force user allies. At the start of each encounter, all unaligned force user and Jedi allies gain protection up 50% and tenacity up for 2 turns. If all allies are dark side or light side unaligned force users, and there are no Galactic Legend allies at the start of battle, until an ally takes their first turn, whenever an enemy starts their turn, all unaligned force user allies gain 5% crit chance, crit damage, and offense stacking until the end of the battle. Whew. While allies have accuracy up, they have plus 50% crit damage. All other unaligned force user allies gain 5% turn meter whenever another unaligned force user ally takes damage from an enemy. Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry, but until you take your first turn.
Yeah.
If the other team's just beating on you for a couple of minutes, you just stack it up till it's over.
Right. And then you just drop the bomb and walk away laughing.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, she's got like 40% defense in her kit. She's got, I think it's another 40% max protection. No, it's 20% defense for each. Yeah. So for each Jedi. But right. She's just got defensive stats that like are just crazy. Kind of falling out of her pockets.
Right. So you're going to wail on them.
Yes.
Excuse me. And theoretically, nothing is going to come of it.
I mean, Admiral Raddus is going to watch like a fight with her and like, come on, this is stupid.
Right.
I mean, he's just like, I thought I was bad. This is insanely terrible for what's happening here. So,
yeah. I'm just also like looking at the gaining turn meter, so whenever you take damage, so theoretically eventually you're going to go, I mean theoretically you can do damage to a force user ally, unaligned force user ally,
yep.
20 times before you, but
well if you yeah, but think about it. So you using that Malgus team as right. well. So Revan's going to drop his AE.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pick up 25% turn meter right there.
Yeah.
And even though they've got turn meter reductions kind of built into some of those kits and you can pull it away, you're going to start. You either need to focus on single target attacks, which cripples the team on that side. And again, I'll take that trade-off. Or you're going to build a bunch of turn meter from the standpoint that they're not going to be able to kind of get you behind a turn meter train mm-hmm. on that side. It's almost like the anti-Finn kit or like the opposite of the Finn kit, where once you got rolling, it never stopped. You're eventually just going to stop them.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Yep.
Okay. So then she's got her Omicron, which is a Grand Arena one. If all allies are dark side or light side unaligned force users, and there are no Galactic Legend allies at the start of battle, all allies gain 30% max health and max protection and are immune to ability block and daze.
Well, okay. There it is.
At the start of each encounter, which is funny that they use that terminology for Grand Arena, but at the start of each encounter, all unaligned force user and Jedi allies gain protection up 75% instead. Holy, okay. For each instance of damage any unaligned force user ally deals to an enemy, they gain 10% offense stacking for 2 turns. Until an ally takes their first turn, whenever an enemy starts their turn, all unaligned force user allies gain an additional 10% crit chance, crit damage, and offense stacking until the end of battle. So in Grand Arena, you're just ramping them up harder.
Yeah.
Whenever an ally dispels a debuff, they recover 15% health and protection. and gain advantage for two turns. Whenever an ally dispels a buff, they recover 15% health and protection. And at the end of their turn, they gain foresight for two turns.
So I haven't looked at ATF's kit in a long time, but it feels like that debuff, recover health and protection, that feels like the Ahsoka Tano Omnicron just stuck on Seer.
Right.
Right. But it's for the whole team.
It is. Insane.
So again, I just want to kill Malgus. Let's use that example of Darth Revan again. Anyone that's going to do an AE damage ability opening up. So now it's 25%
turn meter
to everyone, and everyone gets 15% critical chance, critical damage, and offense stacking.
Ooh, yep.
Yep.
Yes. Sorry. I was stuck on the offense stacking for when they deal
because it's whenever an enemy starts their turn, they all pick up 10% of everything. And then if you drop an AE on them because they all took damage, they're gonna pick up an extra five. I think it's 5% from the
leadership. Yeah. And then the Omicron is the additional 10.
Yep.
Yeah. So 15%. Holy.
I mean, 15% offense.
Yeah.
Is the equivalent of putting on two offense crosses.
Yeah. This is also like, I really am liking this Omicron because it doesn't affect the turn meter gain. Like that's static from the leadership. All that's being affected is the stats that you're getting in the boost. So in Grand Arena, you still theoretically are going to have the same amount of turn meter gain happening when you face the same team in Territory War and Grand Arena. You're just going to hit a whole lot harder when you get to go. All right, man.
That is fun.
This sounds like I want this Omicron.
So let's look at Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum's Omicron.
Okay.
So while in Territory Wars, she gains 100% armor penetration and critical avoidance, 75% defense max health, offense max protection, minus 60% tenacity because you want her to get buffs. When Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum dispels a debuff with Perseverance, grant her the opposite buff for two turns, 20% turn meter protection up. And then she... I thought she recovered protection. So she recovers protection when she strips off the bus, not everything else. Mm-hmm. All right. I made a part of that story. Again, would have been great if I would have done some research before we actually went on this tonight. So
it's similar, though. It's very similar. Man.
Well,
that sounds fun.
Stonewall Legend, actually, and this is an interesting point. Could there be a weird team with Maul with them? Doesn't he do damage to himself at the start to get TM? I think he does. I think it's a minor little damage piece to it. But
I think
the he would get a little bit from the leader, but he wouldn't be able to take advantage of anything in the in the Omicron, because that's the enemy doing something to you.
Well, even in the leadership, you're only going to get the turn meter gain, the 5% turn meter gain, when you take damage from an enemy.
Correct.
So him doing damage to himself isn't going to do anything. Yeah. And you get the stats boosting.
And just because Maul hates himself doesn't mean he's actually his own enemy. I mean, it's so. Man, that joke fell flat.
it's an interesting. Sorry, I'm staring at the leadership ability, and I'm trying to see if you can plug him in. I don't know if he would. I don't know if you would plug him in there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be, we need to figure out what the rest of the kid is. We know that one of the characters coming in is going to be tagged for the Night Sisters. I really think that this is going to be ATF. It's going to be Fallen Order. It's going to be Ser. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to get probably two on a lot. There was actually a note down here that she likes characters that do multiple hits, which Scabre makes a lot of sense because her basic, she hits three times on her basic, I think, or is it her special?
I think it's her special, yeah. If I remember correctly. I haven't used her in so long.
Yeah, I know.
this is going to be interesting. And they do say, too, this is also what I like, and it explains why they released the kits together. She was designed alongside Cal. So they are going to work together pretty nicely. I do find strategy tips. The second bullet point is just Cal Kestis. Like, is that just like, just stick him there? Is that?
Yeah, it's like, look, you have to have three bullets. Yeah. Like if you only have two bullets, that's a paragraph. So three bullets, you need to do it. So we'll just say Cal Kestis and move on. So
yeah. Oh man. And then, so she's going to be in another marquee event in 2 weeks. So we will get her on. Yeah. I don't know what day of the week that is. The 23rd.
2 weeks would be the 18th. No, 18th? Not the 18th. 18th is a Saturday. Yes, 23rd. You're right.
23rd.
Yeah.
18th. Somewhere between the 18th and the 23rd.
Somewhere between now and the end of the month.
Correct.
The other piece, and again, because there were a ton of great jokes around this, but one of the questions is, why does Seer's special ability, Determined Assault, have a cap on the amount of max health damage it deals, but Rex, for example, does not? And their answer, while this ability is quite similar to Rex's early advantage ability, it can stack much, much quicker than his does. And when combined with the right team setup, she can use this ability multiple times in a battle. During testing, these values reach such a high value that it would frequently crash the game. So,
yikes.
That's great. What I think a lot of us were shocked is that they test. That they actually have, like, we have confirmation that someone at least loaded it into a game, ran a mission, went, oh no, this is bad, and then changed it.
Yeah.
So
that is, I mean, I think they have a specific squad in mind that they want you to run. And I would assume they tested that squad and then that squad crashed it.
So
it will be very interesting to see how this plays out. But so 2 weeks we get her.
Yep. So the question from Stonewall Legend was, who do we think the last member of the team will be then? I think there's a little bit of question for that. I think it, at least my initial thought here is, it becomes probably a Dark Side Unaligned Force user.
Right.
Only just to get one of them into the mix. But where we'll see for the mission is going to be a Light Side mission. So we're going to need another Light Side Unaligned Force user there. I think a little bit is probably to be determined. It's the fist is a little bit of a flex right now, is probably I think where we're landing.
Yeah. It's gonna, I mean, I guess if you put a, if Survivor is a Jedi, that would be the Jedi you put with her as well. It's gonna be interesting. Okay. So alongside these two kits, though, they also released information about the Cal Kestis Survivor Heroes Journey event and the first territory battle bonus zone that's gonna open. So I guess before we even get into the event, it's important to say that they also gave us the list of the marquee characters you will need and the gear levels required. So obviously you need Cal and Seer. And we knew that Marin was also coming.
Yep.
And then the last two are going to be Tarful and Saw Gerrera. And only gear 12.
Only gear 12, although 7-star. So,
yes. Yes.
The shards are still the challenge to do that. Yeah.
And then I feel like we should point this out because in big, bold, red letters, the event is only playable for a limited time and will not be available in the journey guide permanently. For now.
Boo.
Big boo.
I've got a problem with that. Like I don't mind the way they did the Aphra release because she was always going to be there. If you know, if you want to drop the last character and then you dropped Aphra in on the same day, for people that wanted to go after her, it was available, but no one was going to be penalized for not going after them.
Right.
This to me, I don't like this because there, you know, that the character is going to release on a Thursday. And then that Monday we're going to kick off into a territory battle and people aren't going to be able to use them because, you know, they weren't ready from that standpoint. And it's going to be 3 to 6 months before we see that character again. I just don't like that.
I think what I would, and I will give CG credit in the sense that they are giving us more information earlier. Yeah. So kudos to them for that. I think what I would really enjoy, because they seem to be muddying up the terminology for characters in terms of what it means for how you unlock it, what the requirements are to unlock it. And it's creating, I don't want to say confusion, but it's sort of creating like an expectation of sorts, because you're like, well, Grand Inquisitor, for example, he was released as a legendary character, not a hero's journey, not a legacy. He's a legendary character. So for him, because he was tagged legendary, I expected him not to go to the journey guide right away. Because Cal is tagged hero's journey, which is the same as BAM, I kind of expected him to go to the to the journey guide right away, because BAM did. Granted, I know that Jedi Training Rey is a hero's journey as well.
Yep.
And I believe CLS is as well. But there was no journey guide for them to go to when they were released.
Yep.
So I feel like there was not necessarily a precedent, but a little bit of one. And then you have Starkiller and Aphra, which are similar, but they are technically legacy events. And I would just appreciate this is how it works for hero's journeys. This is how it's going to work for legendaries. And just lay all the cards on the table.
This is also the first hard requirement character that they're going to kind of do in this condensed release cycle that won't be available for people when the event happens. Like it used to be the advantage for whaling on Jedi Training Rey or CLS was you got to use them in arena immediately, but there were no game modes that actually needed them right away. Right. If you don't do this, you are going to miss out on a portion of a game mode until we design to bring this back. And I think that because of the massive delay that we saw in the Grand Inquisitor, I think that has people a lot of people anxious as to what the release cadence is going to look like. To your point, we like predictability, and all of a sudden this is becoming very unpredictable as to what it's going to look like.
Right. And if you are looking at this from them, let's say tying it into the game, into the Fallen Order, Jedi Fallen Order games, that's being released in April.
Yeah.
The second one. So if you release that in April, you have Cal coming out, Seer comes out in 2 weeks. Say Marin is 2 weeks after. Like, let's just guesstimate that we've got 2 week intervals here for the Marquees. That puts Saw at May 3rd.
Yeah.
For a marquee event. So, which is, I mean, just in time for May the 4th.
Yeah.
So you could have Saw on May 3rd and that like May the 4th announcement talking about the event going live the week after.
Yep.
And that is in pretty close conjunction to the Fallen Order game being released, which obviously this is a, I don't want to say like a marketing ploy, but it is a joint thing. I could see them having this event happen in the first half of May.
Yep. I agree. Well,
they're not going to be farmable.
And if they're going to push out the territory battle update with this as well, I mean, that's because we also know that May the 4th is, I think, where we're all kind of expecting the raid to land. Mm-hmm. Because it's May the 4th. Let's do a big announcement around that. So we know that we're going to get a title update where we typically see big changes like that as well. So this is a big commitment to get this done. So
yeah. And Guernsey is making a great point in chat about, yes, BAM's release was a special case at the time. It was also a marketing event. They wanted it happened during the second season of The Mandalorian. They wanted people to come in and that were watching the show and play the game, but still went straight to Journey Guide. Yep. But anyway, it's a partnership event designed to hype Fallen Order 2. Why would they shut people out after the event has only been on for what, a week? Which that is fair. Especially because, if you're a new player.
They like money. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, this is a free service for a number of players. It's not, it is not a non-for-profit organization.
Totally.
If they can get people to accelerate to do this, they're going to get people to accelerate to do it.
Well, and what's actually going to be even more telling for this is, yes, you need them at gear 12 to do the event.
Yeah.
You need them at Relic 6 and Relic 7 for territory battles.
Yep.
Which we'll get into, but like, so yeah, okay, get them to gear 12, but you're not going to be stopping there.
But this always goes back to what we always talk about. The shards are the long pole in the tent. The shards are the challenge. If I can get the shards by May 4th to unlock him, and I miss that the first territory battle, I may be ready in 2 weeks. I may be ready in 4 weeks.
Right.
But I'm ahead of schedule for the third month, or kind of if it's 90 days out.
Right.
There's another piece that actually I just thought about as we get into the territory battle piece that I think has to come into play as people think about what their decision is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The characters of the guide are interesting. I like the new Wookiee idea. I'm going to save my comments on Marin until we get into the Bantha in the room.
Okay.
But I'll be honest. I played the game start to finish. I loved it. I had to go look up this morning if Saw Gerrera was in the game. He made that little bit of impact.
Oh, really? I didn't get that far into it. Yeah. To see him in the game. So.
I know there's a lot of speculation as to kind of what Saw is going to be. Nobody likes him, and he's not part of anyone's group. Everyone keeps like, oh, he's going to be a lifter for Bodhi. He literally tried to drain Bodhi's memories.
Yeah.
Like, why would Bodhi want to run around with him?
Saw is like the grumpy old man that nobody wants anything to do with, but somehow just keeps showing up.
I mean, he wasn't a rebel because they were like, no, you are a killer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be involved with you. The partisans don't really exist in the game. There's only arguably Tarful, I think, was a partisan, and then the weird dude with the tube. So again, factions have never stopped CG, but mm-hmm. outside of being a Galactic Republic era character from Clone Wars, I just don't know where he's going to fit. Like that's the one I'm the most interested about.
Right. Yeah, I don't know where he goes either.
Be interesting if he was neutral, because while he pretends to be good, he's a pretty evil guy.
He is fully self-serving.
Yeah.
It would be interesting if he was neutral. But the other thing that is interesting here, and this created some confusion with people, is the tiers for the event.
Okay.
So if you actually, I don't know if you looked at the spoilers or not. It basically just tells you which character you need.
Okay. Yep.
But it also tells you what planet the tier takes place on, which has never been done before. They've never, I don't think, not that I can remember off the top of my head. So like tier one is on Braca with Cal. Yep. And then you get Kashyyyk. What is interesting here that I noticed is tier three is Zepho, which is going to be the bonus planet we'll talk about shortly. But tier five is Nur, which we don't have on the map yet. And I actually had to look up this planet because I wasn't familiar with it. It is off of Dathomir, I believe.
Okay.
And it is the home of like an Inquisitorious base, if I'm remembering the terminology correctly of what they said. So it could potentially be a bonus planet in the future.
So, okay. I'm gonna simplify this a little bit.
Yes.
Braca, Kashyyyk, Zepho, Dathomir, and Nur were the six planets that were in Fallen Order.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. So yes, we may get new art. Mm-hmm. I think for Nur, or may be a new one that way, but I'm looking at it more from the standpoint of it's just aligns to the, because I think they're telling the story at,
yeah,
of, or part of it is kind of the First Order kind of high level walking through the game from that side.
Which totally makes sense. I'm just tripped. There is a bonus planet, according to the concept art, off of Dathomir.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So I'm just curious if they will do anything with that.
So, fun fact, Nur is where Kenobi went in the show when he went to the Empire base. Yeah. So that's, and there was a really cool moment from the game that happened in Nur as well, but Kenobi was on Nur for that. So
we could, I just am curious if we'll see that as the next one, because we can talk about these bonus zones, because this is going to be interesting. And I just want to double check real quick, because I was looking at this last night. It has been edited since last night. And we can talk about what they edited afterwards, but it is indeed.
I did not know it was edited.
It has been, and there's proof, because if you watch Create Expectations, not that I'm shamelessly plugging it, you can see that
you should watch it.
You can see the text, because I've pulled up this post on in it when we were recording. So I'll just point it out right now. At the bottom, under the Zepho information, it says the special mission on Braca will launch with Seer's release and will require Seer Jundah and either Cal Kestis or Cal Kestis survivor, all at Relic 7.
Okay.
Which is interesting, because Braca is a Relic 6 planet. And last night, this said all at Relic 6.
Interesting.
So I don't know why they changed it, but they did.
Is they like relics numbers higher,
I guess,
or something? So,
but anyway, Cal and Seer are going to get a mission on Braca, which will unlock, depending on you need a certain amount of members of your guild to successfully complete the mission, and that will unlock the first territory battle bonus zone of Zepho.
Okay.
So this is interesting.
So that point, I think, is the most important determining factor whether you should go for Calc for this journey guide or not. If collectively your guild is like maybe three or four people are going to do it, I think you're probably going to need more than three or four to go.
I think
the next.
So too.
So I
feel like you're going to need at least half the guild.
Yeah, I had a light bulb moment about a year ago that someone, when Simon Jago came out, and I asked him like how many Omicrons did you put on? I'm like, my guild doesn't care about territory war, so I put zero on. Like, oh, that's what I never thought about it that way. Like, if you're not going to try, what's the point of doing it from that side? It's the same concept. If your guild's not going to prioritize that, what's the point of you being ready and no one else is, besides you just right. want to have animosity towards them? So,
yeah, it's, I can see them doing 25. This also is interesting. I don't know if this was here last night or if I just totally didn't read it. You have to earn a minimum of 1 star on the connected zone in order to advance to the bonus zone. So you have to earn at least 1 star okay. on Bracca before you can get to Zepho.
Okay.
Even if you complete, so you can't preload Bracca, complete the mission, how many you need, and then go into Zepho, which makes sense. Because again, if you look at the concept art, assuming this hasn't changed, this is from the September road ahead. You can see Bracca. Sorry, my mouse is not on the screen, but you can see Bracca in the second row of light side planets. And the nice dotted line of the bonus zone is going towards the Zepho planet, and that's in phase 3.
Okay.
So it makes sense that you would have to star Bracca before you can go.
So I tried to read through kind of what the bonus zone is going to be, and I just can't visualize it. So I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions mm-hmm. on it. So enough people in your guild beat the unlock mission.
Mm-hmm.
That opens up Zepho.
Correct.
Zepho has its own set of platoonable characters, right?
Apparently.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And do we know how many missions are going to be over there?
No. So it sounds like it will be a combo of missions and special missions, assuming they okay. put both there.
Yep.
And then it's going to have platoons. I don't know if it's going to be another of like 6 squadrons of platoons, like another 90 characters, yeah. or maybe it's only 45, like maybe it's half yep. or something. The platoon thing does kind of worry me, because the platoon yeah. now is a way for CG to introduce newer characters to platoons.
Yep.
Because when TB launched...
Ooh, I didn't think about that. That's stupid.
Yeah, when TB launched, jokes. everything released after Aphra. So Aphra, Zori, yeah. The New Tuskens, like all those characters are not in platoons. And now they could be.
So that also makes sense then why I read in one of the chats where I think you made a comment about we need to plan for this for our folks that are putting a bunch of new characters in, or kind of those very rare characters, because they're likely the ones that are going to push on that side. So mm-hmm. now I did read that the rewards aren't necessarily going to be stars for advancement. They could just mm-hmm. be probably like gear packages or mm-hmm. Super space bucks, which that kind of leads me to where my head is at in territory battles right now. Like to me, the introduction of the way they're doing this very much feels like CG saying, hey guys, slow down.
Right.
Like, we don't want you in 4, 5, and 6 yet. It's too early. We've talked that there's not enough resources to get people there.
No, there are guilds that are getting to phase 6 on some planets, but like those are the yeah. top guilds. Like that's obviously not the majority, but yes, I agree with you. This is a like, slow down, stay here, keep playing in this yeah. area.
And I know we've had some conversations about in Old Dirty Blasters about, you know, do we start doing voluntary platoon assignments for our 8 characters so that we can start making advancements into 4, 5, and 6? And this to me feels like R8 is kind of the cap, you know, R8 based mm-hmm. teams are probably the cap, probably R7 for most people. Because mm-hmm. 7 would get you through the end of phase 3 or to the end of the Reva level. It feels like that 7 becomes the standard. R8 is, you know, targeted to so that you can actually play in those zones. Don't even worry about 9 right yeah. now. And I think that that's where I had been kind of a side project that I was going to build another all R9 team. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore.
No.
Until it comes from CG that I get a signal that it looks like they want us to play deep into 4, 5, and 6. And they want to, you know, there's a lot of people like, well, should I just take all my Grand Inquisitors to R9 because I need them in phase 6? Right now I think that this new planet has pushed the idea of phase 6 so far away that I don't see the point in going to R9 on a team just to be ready.
That's a great point. And it's important to note too, with this planet, like the bonus zones don't go anywhere. They're dead ends.
Yeah.
So, and you can preload them the same way you would preload the other planets. So you could unlock this zone there. So for choose our guild as an example, we do Braca in one day. We don't preload it, which means on day 3 of territory battles, we would have access to Zepho and Kashyyyk at the same time. Which means we could theoretically ignore Zepho for now, only because again, we do Kashyyyk also in one day. Focus still on Kashyyyk, ignore Zepho. It stays open because you haven't gotten a star, quote unquote, in it. So it's just there. And theoretically, you could have it there for day 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
Until you get, so you could have 4 days, you could have 3 days, however many that you needed before it's closed off.
I really hope that the rewards for this are better than incremental star gains. Because star by star, you know, going from 35 to 36, it's not that much of a huge of a difference in the rewards. No. The big jumps are like when you go from 30 to 34, which I think like a lot of people have kind of made some jumps like that. Mm-hmm. What I'm really hoping is that the rewards on these bonus planets are better than chasing a star. And again, it's because if they're better than chasing a star, it's again, it's CG's way of saying, no, go here, do this. Mm-hmm. You know, you won't listen to me, so I'm going to make it worth your while to run over that way. But I didn't even think about the new platoon piece, which although I guess that would be what Zori, that would be the Tuscans, because they can't be
Aphra.
Yeah, it would be Aphra would fall into that, but it wouldn't be like Seer. It wouldn't be it wouldn't be Cal, because they would be needed on those missions.
Right, and so then again, we have fifth brother and seventh sister in platoons in phase 3. So, let's hope it's not them. But yeah, what I'm hoping is that they'll be static with the rest of the platoons.
Yep.
And that planet wouldn't get refreshed down the line and turned. And this is like way, way, way down the line and turned into another planet.
Yeah.
In the future. Because there are a lot of bonus zones that could be active at a time.
Yep. It would be interesting if the rewards were such a point that guilds actually considered taking a step backwards in stars to chase.
Yeah,
the
that would be interesting.
Yeah.
So we don't know though what the rewards are going to be for Zepho.
Right.
It can be stars. It can be a chest or additional rewards. It could be a character. Who knows? So it's interesting to see. What they do say though is if it is stars, so say you get an additional 3 stars. So right now you can get 54 in light side in Return of the Empire territory battles. 54 is the max. So what they're gonna do is if you can get 3 additional stars from Zepho, then they're just gonna make additional tiers at the top of the reward track. So, which I guess just pushes that. I mean, theoretically, if you're gaining access to that zone, then you're going to have a jump in stars and you get pushed up the reward ladder.
I mean, the good news is with the rate that they're adding all of these teams or all of these characters to the game, I mean, we'll be able to fill platoons because there's just so many of them that we need to actually use at this point. So.
yeah. Okay, so again, we talked about this. You have to complete a special mission a number of times during each territory battle. So that's important to note, is that every time we do territory battles, you have to do this mission to gain access. So it's not going to be like, oh, you did it last time, so it's there.
Yes. Let's also hope that this mission is not difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am so looking forward to never trying again in the Reva mission.
I will say, and I say this as somebody who tries to coordinate territory battles and the Reva mission and all of these fun things, and I see this a lot with players, is they don't understand what's happening in the missions in this territory battle because they're not paying attention to the modifiers. They're not reading the planet modifiers. They're not reading what the special abilities might be on a planet, or what the platoons can do and give what bonuses you're getting. If this mission is, we know this mission will be required and you have to pass it, however many people have to beat it to get access to this planet that will have potentially very good rewards.
Yeah.
You need to be paying attention to the modifiers on Braca and what happens there so that you can understand how to beat the mission and why things are happening to you in the event, and not be surprised.
So I hear you, but I would like to counter with, what if I just hit auto?
And granted, there are times where you can just hit auto. I enjoy hitting auto with Jabba on Tatooine because everyone else just dies to the dots and Jabba just cleanses himself. But I can already foresee the I won it last time and I don't know why I'm not winning it now. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know what this button does. I've never pushed it.
I changed all my mods. I don't know what they looked like previously, and now nothing works. So what happened?
So that's just my little soapbox for it, because you got to do it every time.
Yeah.
I can just see a guild having the exact number of cals required and needing to go 100% and someone just dropping the ball, unfortunately. So, which is awful. But anyway, so they do say again, Relic 7, which I don't understand because it's Relic 6 on Braca.
But don't they have
Geos?
Isn't there something on the lights? It's Geos needs to be a relic level higher than somewhere else. So
yeah, they have Geos on Geonosis at Relic 7.
Okay.
This, though, is the edited line. So if you look at, I honestly could not tell you if it's on my half or Zareth's half. I think it's on his. If you look at Create Expectations, does say all at Relic 6. And that we recorded that less than 24 hours ago.
So I think, just to be safe, that people should probably watch both.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Just watch
both. But it is interesting that they've changed that.
Yeah.
But so the special mission is going to come to Braca when Seer launches, when her marquee is released in 2 weeks. But the bonus planet does not come out. So Zepho will not launch until the Cal Kestis Survivor comes to the game.
Okay.
So we have time to practice the mission before it matters. Theoretically.
Can we call Cal Kestis Survivor Destiny's Child?
Yes.
Okay. All right. He's the Destiny's Child.
100%. That is sticking. Destiny's Child. Okay. Yeah. So then Zepho, they also say you need Relic 7 characters other zones in this phase, because it's on phase 3. Not be needing to use units that are required in other zones. So Wookiees are required in Kashyyyk.
It's a light side, so I think the only it's Kashyyyk is it's only Wookiees that are required there because there's no Jedi right. there's no Jedi requirement. Those are Wookiees in three light side nodes.
And I think Profundity is locked on that ship mission.
I think it's the next one because I
oh is it
I wanted remember. To look at it today and because I know that there's the one that Executor is locked and Profundity is locked and it's that we do that on the same
day.
On the same day, and Executor wasn't locked today.
Okay.
So I think it's on the Phoenix node.
Okay.
So
no Wookiees on Zepho, basically.
Yep.
Which would theoretically mean Tarful wouldn't be in platoons.
Correct.
Theoretically.
But there's also enough Wookiees to do the Kashyyyk mission without Tarful.
Right. But still.
So just CG air on the side of caution.
Yeah. Yeah, and then all this, as usual, bright red, still in development.
Yeah.
Could change, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think overall, though, about the bonus zones coming already, quote unquote, because let's just use May the 4th as a timeline guesstimate for when Destiny's Child hits the game. That's less than 6 months of new territory battle.
I like the concept. I'm tired of the time commitment.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they added 5 minutes on to, you know, day two.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably adding another 15 to 20 minutes on in day three.
Like right.
You can't keep scaling my time indefinitely.
Right.
So, you know, I'm surprised that I'm kind of doing CG takes too much of my time thing because I typically get irritated when those conversations spin up, but this just all of a sudden it's like, really? Because also, if you're keeping pace with the release cadence,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you drop this on a Grand Arena day.
Right.
Because day three always aligns to Grand Arena Wednesday.
Yeah, it does.
And yeah, I mean, I like the idea of what they're doing. I want to see the rewards.
Yeah.
But man, this just seems like a massive time sink right now.
So, and I'm concerned because I'm wondering if you turn Zepho on, if you flick this switch and you're like, okay, bonus planet. I don't think you can in 6 months be like, okay, Zepho's turned off now.
Yeah.
Like, I think you have to leave it on.
Yep.
For a while. You're going to have people be pissed. And the reason why I keep going back to the road ahead from September is because it has that concept art. And if that concept art hasn't changed, you can see the offshoots in it. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the offshoots in the concept art of all the bonus planets. And there are 12.
That's a lot. That's a massive a lot of time.
That is 30 planets, theoretically. And obviously, this is way, 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 way down the line. Like, I get that this is not an immediate problem, but that is theoretically 30 planets that could be active.
Yeah.
And they're all dead ends, right? So as long as you don't star those bonus planets, you can have them open the entire duration.
And look, so again, I think a lot of it's going to be how they handle loot. If it's really just, it's a loot bundle that they move planet to planet to planet as mm-hmm. they open them up. I don't care if they open them and close them. And I get that people are upset. Oh, I never get a chance to do those missions. Mm-hmm. I get that. But I don't have the time to do three more missions right now, let alone six more. And then 9 more, and then 12 more, and then you know that numbers go on until the end of time, and I'm afraid that CG is going to try and take advantage of that till the end of time. So
Well, and like, if you look at it, like if you look at phase three, for example, you could have five planets open during phase three.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. And yep. I would even be okay with them alternating instead of like turning it off. Basically, I would be okay with them being like, okay, this territory battle will have Zepho active. And then the next one, it's not active because Nur is, or whatever
yeah.
planet.
Yeah.
And then you go back to Zepho, back to, and you just kind of ping pong, especially for those phases that you could have two bonus yeah. zones open. But it is, yeah, that is, it's a lot.
Now, what would be interesting is if, almost like they approached it that we'll give you stars, but you only get a certain amount of stars on a phase path. So you can either do the Zepho stars, or you could do the, and I forget what,
Raka?
I forget, is
or
it
Kashyyyk?
Is it's
in
it would
the
be
same...
Kashyyyk, because it Kashyyyk and Zepho would be on the same striper.
Yeah.
So you can choose to do A or B,
mm-hmm.
but you have to do A or B. You know, like that's the only way to get three stars on those two. But yeah, I don't see how they're going to be able to open up multiple of these bonus planets at the same time.
I think it could get overwhelming very yeah, quickly.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be a delicate line, I think, that they're going to have to walk.
Yep.
I'm curious about it. And also, like they said, some of them will reward stars and some of them yep. will just give you rewards. So it's going to depend on what you need as a guild.
Yeah.
In order for what you want to focus on. So
it'll be interesting. I'm shocked that we have this much change to territory battles
already
before the 6 month mark.
Yeah. In a way, I'm kind of like, okay, because it did, I don't want to say like it felt stale. I feel dirty.
It was starting
saying
to feel
that.
Stale. Yeah.
But like every day, every territory battle, I'm like, okay, this team goes here, this yeah. team goes here. My platoons are the same every territory battle. Like, it's very much a regimented
yep.
thing now that I know what I'm, even on the odd time that I log in onto Professor X to do battles there, I'm like, oh yeah, I can do this janky team here. This worked yeah. last time. And oh, it's the same idea.
And it's even like, so I dropped like three fights in, or three waves in the first day. And I'm like, I don't really care.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's not.
I didn't do any yeah. fleet battles the first day because I was yeah. like, I don't really need to. And that was that. So I kind of like that they're doing it because it adds a little bit of something. I just don't want them to do it too quickly every yeah. time. I think that is where it can get into dangerous territory.
Yep.
So, yay. Maybe. But that's all of the news.
That is.
Holy. That's a lot to digest.
It is. Two kits is always a lot. Speculation on some new characters. And again, I'll give CG credit, and I know you've said it a bunch of times that we're getting a lot more information up front,
mm-hmm.
but they're holding just enough back.
They are.
To get people to speculate, to get people to talk, to get people excited about what this is going to look like, or excited or anxious, I think is probably equal words to say in that case. But I just kind of need more information at this point.
Yeah. And I think we will see more about this. We're going to see more about the Cal event and the territory battle bonus zone
yep.
in April's road ahead, which will also have more about the raid. So like the April road ahead is just going to be obscene.
And
it's going to be a textbook.
You better be back by that road ahead.
I'm like, do not put this road ahead out before the middle of April, because give me some time to get my bearings straight so I can come back for it. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, Let's aim for middle to end of April so I can kind of have my head screwed on straight make coherent sentences.
Got like 2 hours of sleep the night before, but was able to actually read enough of the text to have some concept of where it is.
Right? So I'm just going to be so mad if it's the beginning. But anyway, I guess, did we kind of do that snow moon?
I think we did. I think that's right. Snow moon for us typically just bleeds always into the headlines because it's
that's the big stuff.
And let's be honest, we're in a cycle with CG right now that we're seeing something every other week. We're seeing something new enough that it actually just it fills the show. I mean, I greatly appreciate that they do this for us.
And it's always the week of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, we can't ever get off of this cycle.
No. Okay, so the Bantha in the room.
Yeah.
The negative of all of this.
So I've got two.
Yes.
And we talked about the one. Man, Cal and Cal is just terrible. Browndo and Bam was awesome because they were very distinct terms and described them. As much as I want Destiny's Child to stick for Survivor, I don't think it will.
I know.
Cal Norton Jr. is way too long to type in Discord. So we need some good names, the first. But the other is, and I might get some hate mail for this.
Uh-oh. Hot take.
I'm going to say, gentlemen, I'm going to address this to the gentlemen.
Okay.
Not to exclude ladies, because maybe there are some ladies in this as well. I get that Merrim was a really cool character in Fallen Order, but it's got the way people are talking about her, it's getting a little bit of this weird waifu vibe, internet girlfriend that's not really a thing. Mm. Let's just be careful with that, all right? Mm. Let's be careful with that. Like, let's not make it weird, all right?
Yeah, let's not make it weird.
She was a cool Night Sister character that joined late in the game that I wish she was around more because she had cool dialogue, but let's not make it weird, all right? Mm-hmm. If I find out that you've got a full-length body pillow of Merrim, I think we're going to ban it from Discord. I'm sorry. That's just a – call me old, but that's a line. That's a step too far.
I actually appreciate that you brought that up because I feel like a lot of people tend to forget, even on our Discord, like there are women here.
Yeah, yeah. Look, if y'all need a thirst trap for the game, pick the forearm shit pilot guy. He's pretty cool. I mean, we can turn that weirdo into a thing. But yeah, let's be careful about that. So,
that's a good point. I don't know if I have a Bantha this week, other than like my concern for how quickly these bonus zones could open up and how many.
Yeah.
But that's a hypothetical problem. So until it becomes a problem, I'm going to be blissfully ignorant and just pretend it doesn't exist.
Hold our breath.
Okay, so do we want to do I Love You, I Know? Like, what
we can.
What are we enjoying in the game?
I like the characters they released for the game. That's the big thing for me. For the new cycle, I think they're really cool. I'm glad Saw's out there because I know the people have been waiting him for a long time. And again, as I said earlier, I just don't remember him being part of that game. So, I never considered it to be as part of this cycle.
Yeah.
In fact, I kind of kept rolling my eyes every time people would bring him up as part of this cycle. I'm like, that makes no sense, and now it does. The other piece. And we didn't mention it, so they released or they redid the art for Second Sister.
Oh yes, they did.
To take her helmet off, so now we have like super goth heavy eyeliner Second Sister, which I thought that kit where that kind of character in the game and the way she looked that way I thought was great. I think the new artwork change is awesome on that. So Calling her the second sister, I don't think ties her back into the game. I think taking the helmet off absolutely puts her back in the game, and it makes it work, because that's how I picture from there. So I was really excited to see that.
Yeah, I like that. So it was cool to open the game and like go look at her.
Yeah.
Her design now. So I have to say that I am enjoying how much, I don't want to say how much content, but it seems like they're really trying to keep things fresh in game.
Yeah.
And I like it. I like that they are focusing on keeping us engaged. I am cautiously optimistic that they will not overwhelm us. Let's be honest, this could create some burnout, yeah. right? Like yeah. this could create, like if you have a raid, you have a new territory battle zone opening up, all this stuff headed your way, it might. But it seems like they are focused on keeping it fresh so that it doesn't feel stale. We constantly have something to engage with. So that will be, I think, a good thing.
Yeah.
It seems promising. And hopefully they are paying attention to how much time we are spending in game and where they want us to focus in game, and tweaking areas that they can maybe pull time back from. So it sounds like they're also like, a lot of this seems to be focused on raids, territory battles. They're really pushing like the individual rewards as well.
Yeah.
And I am curious if we might see something with Conquest in terms of time management, because that would be,
especially
I think that would be helpful.
Especially considering we got the survey that they were kind of asking a lot of about the time commitment questions there.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, if they want to address the time commitment, do something about Grand Arena.
Yeah.
I get people love that game mode, but man, it just feels like, I get why people cheat, because you can get the missions done in 30 minutes or 30 seconds.
Right.
It just, how many more times can I fight Kenobi against Jabba with Kat and that Datacron?
Mm-hmm.
Well, 2 months, and then it turns over. So, I think that needs a little Febreze on it.
Yeah, just something to kind of make it less, because there are times where I'm like, oh, I didn't even do my Grand Arena attacks. Like, I completely forgot because there's 5 million other things going on.
Yep.
I'm hoping that they're paying attention to that kind of stuff. So. We have a ton of Discord corner questions to go over.
You know, I put that out there like 30 minutes before the show, because I was hoping for like two, and then people like, oh, here's a billion and a half. So yeah, we
just a ton. So Dar was asking, and I think we answered most of these thoughts on Cal, the Tuscans, how we're feeling about territory battle, amount of time being spent in the game. So the two that we did not touch on, though, what the impact, if any, what the impact of I'm assuming the Tuscans and maybe Cal, if any, is on the raid, and what unannounced characters would you want to see in the game?
Ooh, okay, actually, yeah, so you go first, and then I've got something on the, but I have to be careful how I talk about it, so.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't think Cal's gonna have an impact. Cal doesn't have an impact on the raid because he's not tagged, so you can't use him. Tuscans, obviously. I think if you're looking at the, if you were to order the factions for the raid that we are allowed to use, I feel like it's going to be Hutt Cartel at the top. And I have a feeling Tuscans are gonna be next.
I think so too.
I think they're going to be the second top team to use.
Yeah.
I
think of the raid, what people are going to find out is you're going to go in, you're going to build your team that's going to get you your maximum total points,
mm-hmm.
and then you're done.
Yep.
So
great.
What's the impact going to be? It doesn't matter as long as all of the characters that you have available to you allows you to maximize where your point systems.
Yeah, as long as you can get in there, get your points, maximize your points that you can do.
Yeah.
I think you're good.
Yeah.
I don't know who I want to see in the game right now. What unannounced characters? I wouldn't mind more characters from Mando because we have Mando on right now. Yeah. But
first of all, I love the second piece of this, other than the obvious with Republic Commando. So we clearly we know where Dar wants to play.
Yes.
So I have two.
Mm-hmm.
The first is I'd love to see Luthien on his ship because I just think the ship is really cool and I think he's a cool character.
Great point.
But I'm not current on Mando. I am current on Bad Batch. I watched Bad Batch tonight. So episode 12. I will not provide any spoilers,
mm-hmm.
but it was a Crosshair episode.
Mm-hmm.
Filoni's doing his thing that he did with Ahsoka Tano and Ezra, where they were kind of these annoying characters, and all of a sudden they become compelling. This episode was so good, and I want Crosshair so much more after having seen this episode. He's going to be special, I think, with what they're doing. I want a Crosshair because of I wanted him for a period of time, but this episode in particular, like all of a sudden he's now becoming like a favorite of mine in the Star Wars universe.
Ooh, okay. I was going to watch it before we recorded.
Yeah.
But I had a 3-hour nap. It's like, okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
We nap. Yep. But now I really want to watch it. So
look, you're napping for two. You've got to nap twice as long.
Yeah. Okay, so Savitar was asking, though, assuming that we decide to chase waves in Return of the Empire territory battle, who would you prefer to work towards first and how would you prioritize them? Phoenix to R8, Wookiees to R7, Kira R8, L3 R8, and Vandor R7 and R9, Yolo R9 for their various missions.
Yep.
Iden's R9, Vader's R9, Jabba R9, and then Aphra and her murder buddies R9.
Oof.
That is a lot.
So I think part of this is we talked about this one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think chasing stars is going to be the direction, is first of all.
Yeah.
I can speak to a lot of these because I am stupid and I have them. So I took an Iden team to R9 across the board because I love them and they are my favorites. And I think as we get into the next question, probably not the best use of resources. I think the Wookiees to R7 make a lot of sense because it's easy to get there. But I think in most cases, I think people are probably maximizing that spot.
Yeah.
I think Phoenix helps, but I think it's hard to justify.
Mm-hmm.
Jabba probably makes the most amount of sense to do just because he's a multi-game mode character.
Yeah, I agree.
The Kira and the Vandor and the L3 and the Yolo. I think they're missing a piece.
Right.
And I think we need that piece filled in before we get any further. So
what is interesting with the get three missions, and this is something that we've brought up in our guild and ODB, is if you have everyone doing those get three missions every single time, it's the equivalent of I think it was like 33 Kairos or something like that. If you were to buy Kairos with get three. So I would probably, like, I think Jabba is the safest bet. And then I would probably do Kira and her buddies for the special missions, because I think that get three is more important than getting the waves in the combat missions.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. As you start to push into new territories and there's special missions available,
mm-hmm.
if as long as you're getting 3-star, focus on the special missions, because I think the payoff there is larger. Your individual contributions aren't that great, but if you can get a whole guild behind it,
yeah.
Hashtag BDSM, mm-hmm. we'll absolutely get, we'll, you know, you'll find a way to get through that. So, by the way, BDSM is buddies do special missions. That's what BDSM really correct. Means. So,
do your special missions. okay. So Jean-Luc Skywalker, what would you say is the farming priority between Dr. Aphra, Tuskens, or start saving up for Cal? I'm curious what your answer is here.
Yeah.
Because I am also looking at all of these ones and be like, where do we go?
It pains me to say this, but at the bottom of the list, it's Aphra right now.
That is what I think as well. I'm slow. I will say I slow farm the requirements so that you have them ready to go.
Yeah.
But I'm not throwing gear on them as of right now.
I know there's this underlying thread that as soon as she loses the Datacron, she's going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beating Rays with Datacrons in Arena without them. So mm-hmm. I think she's going to be good in on the PvP side, but I think the focus is probably the Tuskens, because I think the raid bang for your buck, because you have so few resources you can get there. And then Cal probably comes in second. And again, it's if your guild isn't ready to collectively move in that direction,
yeah,
what's the point? I mean, yes, you have a great character, and I think there's some cool things in PvP that those teams are going to do. But if the real benefit is to get to Zepho and your guild's not going to prioritize Zepho,
mm-hmm.
that I think that that's a lot of the big decision point. But it pains me to say that Aphra is at the bottom of the list, because I just have so much fun with that team.
Yeah, I know you do really like that team, and I will say, like, I did want to, like, go for her after Lord Vader. I don't think I can.
Yeah, I mean, right now my in Grand Arena, I Kenobi Jabba. And I use Aphra on Lord Vader.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have all of these other teams that are just available. Like the flexibility of now having Fennec to do other nasty things to people, because I don't need her on Lord Vader from that side.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking out Vader in Arena with Aphra without a Datacron when he had the huge protection up one.
Right.
So she's gonna do work. And the other big piece is she doesn't have Omicrons in that case either.
Right, right. Which neither does the other team. So
yeah. So there's no Omicron as part of that. So it's not, again, and I got a bunch of Omicrons on her. So it's all these wasters. It's a ton of fun, but I just I think she's a little bit of a luxury right now.
Yeah. I can agree with that, I think. Yeah. And I mean, the other thing, and we'll know this in April as well, is when is this raid coming? Is this raid coming in May, or is it still?
Yeah.
Are we not seeing it until the end of summer?
Yep.
So that can also frame. I mean, I don't think it's going to be that long until we see it, to be totally honest with you, but that can frame some of your decision-making.
Yep.
Okay. Kluge 1971. Do you think a Bad Batch season 2 character or a Mando season 3 character will be the next conquest prize?
No.
I don't think it would be from Mando.
No.
Because I don't think we will have seen all of the Mando episodes yet.
We will have just wrapped up the Bad Batch season 2. Bad Batch season 2 is May 29th.
Yeah.
And
the next Conquest series will start at the end of April.
I am expecting the April Conquest character to be a sea lifter.
Right, because you want to put Watt with Trench.
Yeah.
You need something to go with sea.
And they've already done a couple of other moves to kind of, you know, the Omicron on Droidica to kind of fill into that neat spot. So I think we're going to get the lifter for C at that point.
That's a good point.
I have no idea what it's going to be, but I think we're going to get that. So
it's going to be his crane.
It just separates and then it becomes its own character for the whole time.
Yeah, I have no idea what it would be either, but yeah, I think it might be just too early to see characters from those seasons specifically, as much as I would like characters from them.
There was also, again, non-spoiler, there was a clone in the episode today that kind of had like his kit was kind of, he did some modifications on it. It looked awesome. It just looked awesome. Mm. It was a great episode. It was just a hands down great episode.
Man, I'm going to watch it. I'm watching it in the morning for sure. Lysias the Fox, what hopes do you have for the bonus planet rewards? What's the largest number of planets you would want to see live during the same phase in territory battle? For example, when Zepho launches, we can have 4 planets live for day 3 and 4. Would you do 5 planets at once or 6?
Oof.
Like, I honestly, so I don't think I want stars from the planets. I want, give me a reward box that has more relic material in it.
So what if it was the equivalent of a galactic challenge crate?
Okay. Maybe.
But instead of being mod focused, it's relic material focused.
I think that would be smart.
So 2 Omicrons at three star. Like maybe they do it like tiered. So it's, I know we don't want to talk about stars, but there's 3 ranks. You know, it's some mod material, it's salvage, and then the last one is like 1 or 2 Omicron mats as well. I think that would be pretty hot. I think that would be kind of a cool way to do that.
Yeah. I would love to see like gear 12 gear in there.
Yep.
Because that is still a huge sticking point.
Yep.
And I think that would help close that gap. I would rather see that versus stars. In terms of how many I would want live during the same phase, I think it honestly depends on how you map your territory battle in terms of which ones you want to do, because like we said, they don't go anywhere. So we could theoretically have Zepho open on day 3 and be like, all right, we're just going to ignore this until day 6.
Yep.
Because for us, day 6 light side is nothing. We hit Ring of Kafreen. We can't do the combats there because we don't have enough squads. We don't get a star there. So it makes sense to pour the resources from that phase into Zepho instead.
And it would be interesting to see how far we could get if we could platoon and do some combat missions. Yeah. Like does it impact the other two where we're trying to, where we, I think we do 6 stars on those.
On between
Kashyyyk. No, Kessel and the Haven.
Okay, yep.
On the last day. So can we still get 6 stars on those two and then drive a bunch of resources down through combat missions and platoons and everything else?
Right.
Because Ring of Kafreen is a wasted zone for us right now.
Yeah. But we're at that point where we can't not hit it. We're wasting more by not hitting it than we are by just opening it and having it be there. So that's also kind of the other good thing with them opening these zones is because of how the GP flows when you're making your way through the map, you're going to have an opportunity for that wasted, you know, quote unquote, wasted GP to go somewhere. Yeah. So that's kind of a nice thing.
Yep.
I really don't want to do more than 4 planets a phase though.
I agree.
I think 4 is like, this is it. Like, do not make me do a 5th.
I'm not sure there are enough teams in the game to do.
No.
To do 16 combat missions.
Well, and that's the other thing, actually, to keep in mind, too, is the average player is not going to have enough teams.
Yeah.
Even, like, for me, for example, I'm 9.3 million, 9.4 million, somewhere around there. And when we get to phase 5 and phase 6, I'm doing, like, 4 missions a day.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't touch Haven at all either day. So
I shouldn't. It's...
There's zero missions happening there. There's zero missions happening on Ring of Green. Like, you're not going to have the relic materials invested into those squads yet to make teams. Not teams that are going to get you waves at the very least.
As you're saying that, I'm now coming more and more to your let's just make that relic material on the bonus planets to help make everything work. We need more relic material.
I mean, if that's how you want, if that's what you want to focus on, and I think that is what CG wants to focus on, is us widening our rosters and having relics and all that kind of stuff. You just got to put it into the game and locking it behind bonus zones that require you to have certain characters at a certain relic level to access and have a certain success rate to access stops that influx of it being too much, I think, because you're building a gate, right? Like you must be this tall to ride. Like you're putting that lock in place that slows it down from them just breaking the economy.
Yep. So I agree.
Okay, Mole Pokey, why do you think CG announced all of the Jedi Fallen Order units and plans for the event so early?
I don't really think it's that early. If you put it in the context of Aphra, I mean they announced half of the kit. There are half the characters in the kit, and then kind of started rolling with it. There's a clock ticking around the release of the game, and there's a clock ticking to May 4th. I think that's the bigger piece of why it's there. I think it also helps that, especially with Saw as the last character, and there's so many people that want him. And Merrim is actually another really, although they've already announced Merrim. I think they just needed to get some people excited, especially if he is going to absolutely be a panic farm character.
Oh, 100%.
We haven't had one of those in a long time. So I think they just needed to get some people excited about it.
I think also this ties into what they've been doing lately in terms of giving us information.
Yep.
They told us about Jabba way in advance.
Yeah.
They told us about territory battles way, like we learned about territory battles in September. And they didn't start until December. The Inquisitors were kind of like a slower rollout. So it seems to be what they're doing in general. And I'm impressed with it. I'm still weirded out by it because I'm so used to the like, hey, this is coming next week. Be ready. And having to decipher their clues. And instead we're getting like, hey, there's a raid coming. There will be a bonus zone coming in territory battles. There will be this like, it really does feel like they are trying to let us properly inform the decisions that we want to make on our rosters so that we can be prepared. Or have your guild officers say, hey, here's the anvil CG is dropping again. Pay attention. So, yeah. Okay. Slash, should we now stockpile some mods with zero speed? Obviously, this is regarding the Cal and Seer.
Yes.
Wanting to be slow, 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 slow. I don't know if you need zero speed.
So I have a plan. Okay. I don't know if it's the right plan. But I don't when I'm farming for mod volume, not mats, if you're less than five speed, you immediately get thrown away. Like if I get you all the way up, you're less than five speed. I will also then at certain points start getting rid of five speed mods because they're just not going to roll up. I'm probably going to start holding on to some of the five speed mods because that becomes plus 25 speed. And then if I throw a speed arrow on, that's 55 speed. That's still pretty darn slow.
Right.
At that point, farming zero speed mods is really, really hard.
They have to be pretty much perfect in the other senses, in the other stats.
And then, you know, if you don't hit the right numbers, then it feels like if you're going to try and farm a zero speed mod, buy it from the store, and it's got to be gold when you do it so that you maximize the number of hits to rank up everything. But I think just maybe holding on to some of the five speed mods is probably the way to go.
Yeah. I think that's a fair thing to hold on to. Because I usually will talk, like my culling point in my mod management is eight speed or higher. Yep. So if you're seven speed or less, you get tossed.
Here's an insane idea. What about using the mod reroll material to roll out of speed into other stats?
Oh my god.
Like if you have something that's a 13, like 13's okay, but it's not great. But if you can strip off five out of that, or five, or something else to drive it down a little bit.
I don't like that idea. It seems so counterintuitive.
Oh, I know, but I'm running out of mods that I can efficiently use that currency on. I forget what it's called.
The attenuate, is it attenuators or calibration or
The calibration ones.
Yeah.
I'm like all of my mods that I'm trying to get like from 20 to higher, they're all now like you need 75 of those. And they're like, I don't want to wait that long. So maybe this is now it's just like now I'm gonna go backwards.
Right. Oh man, that is a thought though. Like, because theoretically, if you had a mod that had all the other stats on it that you wanted, ooh, that's a nasty idea.
Yeah.
Oh,
it makes me feel gross.
I was just gonna say, I feel a little dirty just thinking about it. To get rid of speed.
Not to mention, I still think I need to spend some time trying to figure out, does everybody need to be slow?
Right.
Or is it just those two?
I feel like everybody.
Yeah.
Based off of Seer's leadership with until one of your allies takes a turn.
But even think about it. In these days with a character that's like plus 100 speed. That's slow. I mean, anymore, that's like a really slow character, especially where a lot of like the unaligned force users, where they were all in the 160, 170. So you put 100 speed on them, they're at 270.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not very quick.
They're going to be slow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. I think that was everything that I saw on Discord.
Yep.
Unless I missed something, which someone can yell at me, but we did have a profundity event though.
We did.
And I'm curious if we've got a change. So last time, what was it? 53% at profundity?
I believe that's correct.
And this time it's 56.
It's a little higher.
Slightly higher. And 41 of executor.
I saw two new executor players in my fleet chart this week.
I saw someone who switched from profundity to executor. And I thought that was weird.
Yeah. That's starting to become a really big gap between profundity and executor.
It is. And then obviously there's a whole bunch of other little bits and pieces in there, but yeah, that's a big gap.
Yeah, I love that. It's 56, 41, 1%, 1%, and then a bunch of zeros.
So Hawthorne was saying, how are mods with no speed difficult to farm? There are mods in the store all the time with no speed. Yeah, there are. I personally, though, would be picky about the secondaries.
Absolutely.
Like if I'm purposely buying a mod that has no speed, I would 100% be picky about the secondaries in this case.
And also keep in mind that say you're going to buy a purple,
right?
The first roll isn't going to go to increasing a stat. It's going to be to expose a stat.
Mm-hmm.
So to get the highest number of stat increases, you only want to focus on gold. And if you're focusing on gold, like I wouldn't buy a zero speed mod unless it had 3% stats that
yes,
I wanted.
That's what I'm thinking too, is I would want percentage stats. I would be extremely annoyed if I rolled it and it was the flat stats that rolled.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think right now it needs to be, you know, health, percentage, and probably offense would be the 3 stats
mm-hmm.
that I would need. And to your point, so let's say that I decide to go with the flat, you know, it's got a fourth one of flat defense and you hit flat defense 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably throwing my phone through a window. So,
but it's true. Like I would want those ones. Yeah. Especially if I knew that I was putting in like the credits and the mod slicing materials and all that, because you're also going to want to 6 dot it to take even more advantage of the primaries and everything. So I would be picky personally.
I think if you can get a set of mods below 75 speed,
mm-hmm.
that is so insanely slow, especially, you know, there's a little bit of TM on this team so far that we're looking at, but it's not like it's one of these teams that builds a ton of TM.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not having to worry about from that side. Like all these other teams, even the GoFast teams, they're all kind of TM based as well.
Totally.
So, and again, oh, you're an assist heavy team. Oh, great. That you're that's now more instances of damage that's happening on that side as well. So, yeah, I don't think zero needs to be there, but I think it's kind of that Luke 55
right.
to 75 range is kind of where you want it to sit at. But, but again, how many people took forever to find that awesome set of Luke mods
mm-hmm.
that got them to where they needed to be?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. So I think if you have mods already that are zero speed, and then I would probably just hang on to them and throw them on there for now and then finesse them after the fact, especially once we know what's the ideal team, what's the ideal turn order.
Yeah.
Like that's going to be helpful for you as well.
By the way, if you're one of these, I have 500 mods in my roster, and this is the reason why I saved all of them, because that's really, I'm please just don't bring that to me. I'm not interested.
Okay. So fleet meta has slightly shifted. Slightly.
Slightly.
But we can head to Uncle Owen's moisture farm and talk about what we're farming. Which I apparently did not update on my sheet. See,
like I thought you took Finn like 2 weeks ago.
I did. That was that. That's old news. So what are you farming, Pico?
So Trench is ready for R7. Revo is ready for R9. That is now the baseline inventory for my characters, and I will not dip below that until Cal is released tomorrow, and I inevitably will burn something, so I'll be farming back at it. The new 52 project.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put this on here. I love it when Microsoft apps Technically, you spelled a word correctly, but it could not be correctly. So correct. So I did Vet Smuggler Han and right. Bo Karen Krizzy.
Oh, Bo Karen.
Bo Karen was how it autocorrected that. I am locked and loaded through week 16 or April 15th of this year. So I'm about a month ahead of schedule. But all of that said, it's going to be really rough over the next stretch because the Tuscans are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the Riva and Trench are going to roll right along with this. Like, I need a couple of ships.
Yeah.
I need some ships to kind of keep pace, but I have 41 characters left.
Really?
That need to go to R7.
That seems pretty quick.
Yeah, and I take that back. I think I need 43, and there's 41 weeks left based off of kind of where I'm at. So I think I have a legitimate chance to get there to the end of the year, but I did a ton of them in December and January when I didn't have to worry about a conquest character coming along at the backside of it.
Exactly. That's the downside. I mean, yeah. That's the great thing when you have a ship reward for conquest, yeah. And it's also the downside because you're like, oh, I don't need to save anything, and you easily get distracted.
Yeah. And look, we're going to get two bonus characters, Riva in April. And again, if I haven't decided what I'm doing about Cal yet, but you know, that Cal character release there as well, that again, that's going to suck a ton of resources out of that.
Yeah. So, exactly.
Yeah. So that's where I am. It's a lot of hoarding right now.
Yeah. I wish I could hoard right now. So I'm still farming the Lord Vader characters. Have made a ton of progress on them. I only have Zam, Embo, Newt, and Tusken Raider, or whatever one it is, whichever the Tusken is that he needs, to get to gear 13. And they are all, I think they're all gear 12 now, as of right now. So it's all that gear 12 gear that I'm just like staring at. And I'm like, I don't have any of it because that's where it all went. Super pumped. I started throwing like relics on the requirements as well. So all the Bad Batch characters that were needed are now at relic 5. I'm like, oh, I have like a functional Bad Batch. Functional is a loose term because I haven't put proper mods on them yet, but they're relatively functional Bad Batch team. And obviously like Omega's not done, but so that is that. I have hit the point now where I'm like, okay, it is the beginning of March. I can throw the gear on them and be on the Lord Vader farm theoretically by the beginning of April.
Okay.
However, that would mean I'm not hoarding any gear for Riva. So do I slow their gearing down so that I can have the gear for Riva? Because we will get her the first week of April.
Yeah.
I do not need to worry about Trench. I will go on the record and say that this is the first time ever that I'm not getting a character from Conquest in three Conquest runs. I am getting it in four.
You know, you're having a baby. You need to just cut yourself some slack.
I was like, you know what? And I was going to do it in three because I was going to get, I do buy the pass. And I was going to buy the pass, buy the shards, get gold crate, and then everything would be fine. And I was like, I cannot afford to buy the shards instead of buying the impulse detectors I need those right now, especially for Lord Vader. He wants so many Relic 8 characters. So I made the decision to do that instead. Okay. Which will push me back a month. It will also push Professor X back a month because I made the same decision for him. So,
you know, there is someone else who actually could log in that account and finish it up if it mattered that much. So.
There is exactly. But he also doesn't care. So it's a very interesting place to be in because I feel like I need to have so much ready at the same time, even though I'm purposely delaying something.
Yeah.
Also staring down the barrel of Cal.
Yep. Yeah.
Especially if I think I can safely say that I will miss the first run of his event if they're going to do it as quickly as I anticipate them doing it.
I haven't decided.
It's a tricky thing because we also don't know how often it's going to come back. So if you miss the first run, will you be ready for the second one? Will it be a case of like waiting 6 months?
Yeah. I'm gonna give a super hot take here. I'm not convinced Reva's gonna be any good.
Ooh, that is
and I say that because all of these characters that we assumed were going to be world breaking are good, but they're not great. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going back to Malgus. We thought Malgus was going to reshape the game, and he's you have to be able to deal with him. But he's not that insane.
Right.
And I think Reva's gonna be the same way. I just don't see, until proven otherwise, like she's got this kit that looks like she does a ton of damage. And it sort of feels like she's gonna hit for like 1,000 points.
Right.
Or she's gonna have like somehow her damage calculation is gonna be different than everyone else, and you're hitting her for 100,000 and she just falls over flat. So I need it to fundamentally change the board before I actually get that kind of spun up about it. And I'm just the only characters that I see that fundamentally reshape the game right now are Galactic Legends. And so I think delaying for it, especially for Lord Vader, I think makes a lot more sense.
It's a good point, because then I would theoretically have him ready instead.
Yep.
Or have him ready a couple weeks after we get Reva, essentially. Because obviously farming the tickets. Although now that you can buy the tickets in the weekly store, it is considerably faster to unlock the Galactic Legend. Which, again, puts me in that spot that you and I talked about, where if I'm caught up on Galactic Legends,
I can, it's a place to be.
That's where I can just follow the bouncing ball from CG.
Do you know what's going to beat Reva?
A Galactic Legend?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the, you know what Reva's not going to beat?
Yeah.
All the Galactic Legends.
Yeah.
So, so we just got a question from Mickey Johnson. Sarah Pico, what gear do you farm for Relic 8-9 Salvage?
Mm-hmm.
So I farm 9C light side. So the stabby knives.
Mm-hmm.
I do not actively farm anything for Relic 9 because Relic 9 is so few and far between. I do most of that out of like Shard Shop. And that's just, I try and maintain about 300. So the top row in Shard Shop, or the top two rows in Shard Shop of all the Gear 12 pieces, I try to maintain about 300 of those through Shard Shop currency is about where I sit. So
that you can convert them if you need to.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't actively farm. I do 9C definitely, because it also gives you there's something else on there that's good for lower levels.
The on it. Holo projectors that if you make them into the, you convert all of them, they shoot their way up. So yeah,
those are there too. And then I don't farm anything
for
Relic 9, because one, I need all that gear specifically to get my characters to relics, and two, by the time I need a Relic 9 character, I usually know which character it is, and I factor that into my into my plan to gear them. It is a hard place to be in terms of getting to those relic levels. I still only have two relic nines.
I will take tanks there, but I just don't see the point of dealing with anybody else right now.
Yeah, it's still just JML and Raddus.
I listened to Xerath on like three Gambit, episodes in a row talking about taking Maul to Relic 9. Mm-hmm. So I did it, and I was like, I see no difference. So, tanks, I think, make sense, but everybody else, I just don't see the value in R9 right now.
No, I don't either. Not yet.
Yep.
So, yeah. Is that it?
I think that's it.
Oof. We had a lot.
2 hours. We turned it in.
Yeah. And hopefully, I mean, I know you'll be fine while I'm gone. I'm excited to listen to it. But hopefully I won't be gone very long and I'll be back, especially before the road ahead.
Trust me, I know what listening is going to be. You're going to have the Bambino laying on top of you. It's going to be playing in your headphones and you are going to be drooling on a pillow, and I will not be upset when that happens. I will just, but yes, no. Congratulations. Best of luck to you and Trav. Thanks. And I will be rooting for you because I just know what that first month and a half is like.
Yes.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting. I will say, like, I will be around. I had someone ask this earlier of how to get updates out of me while I'm gone. I will be around. I will be on Discord still. I'm probably not going to be responsive. So if you DM me and I don't answer you, sorry in advance. But I will be around here and there. So especially on our server, like, I'll lurk, I'm sure.
I will tell you the craziest thing that you are going to see, and it won't sink in until it happens. Mm-hmm. But literally, 2 days after you have a baby, they're going to say, okay, you can go home now. And they're going to hand you a car seat and you just get to walk outside. And it's like, they just assume that you can do this.
So the hospital that we are using is the only hospital in Canada that has, we are using a midwife instead of an OB. Yeah. It's the only hospital that has a midwife unit specifically.
Okay.
So you have like your maternity wing, you get off the elevator and you go right and it's the maternity wing. And if you go left, it's the midwife wing. So it's all in the same area. But if everything is fine and there's no emergencies and all of that, I can leave in 6 hours.
Oof.
So I am prepared to be completely out of it and also be like, I'm taking this human home now and there's no instruction manual.
I'm sure I heard this from somewhere else. I'm not smart enough to come up with my own, but when I am in charge of making laws, I am going to put a law in place that to take a baby home, you have to pass the fork test. And the fork test is where I hand you a metal fork and I tell you to go put it in the microwave and turn it on. And if you do it, you don't get to leave with your child.
That is a great test. Yeah, that's a really quick way to say, no, you can't go home yet.
And that bar doesn't even exist for you to go home with a child. So, yes, I wish you the best of luck. I would say whatever you need, please let me know. I know that we'll all be rooting for you, and we'll keep the lights on. So,
yeah. Thank you. So I guess on that happy note, that's it this week. We're done.
Chewy, we're home.